Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. Personal debt, it seems impossible to escape in America, whether it's a car loan, student loan, credit cards. Most of us are in some form of debt. So why are so many of us unable to climb out of the hole, and are the most popular methods for debt reduction really the smartest? Scott Rick, a University of Michigan assistant professor of marketing at U of M's Ross School of Business, has been studying just that, and he joins me now to give me the lowdown. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the big picture of our personal debt problem? Are the vast majority of Americans in debt, and is that likely to be a lifelong condition for most of us?
I wouldn't say that most people are in debt, but those who are, many of them do have multiple debts, and that is where the problem is. There's been a lot of research on how people acquire debt in the first place, but we were interested in the back end of it, how they handle the debt once they have it.
Well, your study is called Winning the Battle but Losing the War, the Psychology of Debt Management, and it sounds like it's, you know, not just raw numbers here. So what is the psychology and the psychological factors that go into reducing personal debt, and what makes it so hard?
Well, there's an intuitive response to having multiple debts, and that's if you can help to clear the books, if you can wipe one out, that's very just intuitively appealing, and people will do that even when the math doesn't work out, even when the bigger debts have bigger interest rates, so they're more expensive. Those are the ones you should be paying off most quickly, but the intuition, the emotional response is too powerful, and so many people do make this mistake where they just wipe out the smallest one first if they can, and so we find that they actually do leave a lot of money on the table.
And so what is it that happens? I mean, are people just so underwater in so many ways that they're not noticing the interest rates, or how do they typically go about trying to cut things down?
I mean, that's a fair point. It could be that they're so underwater. It could be that outside the lab, you know, these bills come in at different times, and it's just a lot of paperwork to manage. So there might be some time savings in wiping one of these debts off the books. So what we did is we took it into the lab where there were no bills to keep track of. It was some of the studies we did were computerized experiments where all the bills came on the same day. We give you debts, but there's none of the normal paperwork to manage. So these are people who came in debt-free. We gave them various debts to deal with, and we paid them based on how well they managed those debts. And so even in this kind of clean environment, people make this mistake because it's just so intuitive.
So they're given these different debts, and each of them have a different interest rate. Don't they make some effort to reduce the ones with the higher interest rate?
Well, some do. It's not as if 100% of people make this mistake, but people are much more likely, we found, to try to close out the small debts than to play the financially optimal strategy of chipping away at the larger high-interest debts. So in our study, we just made it so that the small debts had small interest rates and the big debts had big interest rates. Now, some people did get it right, and they figured it out. We let them play this over, you know, what we call 25 years, just 25 rounds or repetitions of this. Some people got it right away. Some people learned, but most people made this mistake and ended up leaving real money on the table. We paid them based on how well they did.
So what is a good strategy? I mean, should you focus all your debt reduction on the one or two bills that have the highest interest rates and leave the others alone, or should there be some kind of a balance involved?
It is hard to say definitively because, you know, there is that motivational element that to some people might be worth leaving some money on the table. And so it's hard to quantify what that's worth. I would say if you are sufficiently motivated to get out of debt, then just pay attention to the numbers, and that'll get you out most quickly. Now, if you are kind of in a deep, deep hole and really do need the motivation, perhaps it does make sense to start out with the snowball, you know, the paying off the small ones first, just to give yourself a psychological boost. Now, I will say that right now we're doing some follow-up work seeing if people do get this boost when they pay off the small accounts. And what we find is, if anything, just the opposite, that people who employ the snowball are more distressed about their debt. We've started to look for the actual psychological benefits. We have not found it yet.
I'm talking to Scott Rick, a University of Michigan assistant professor of marketing at U of M's Ross School of Business. Now, Scott, what about debt consolidation? Is that an effective option to take when you're facing a variety of debts? And are there any drawbacks to doing that?
Yeah, the answer is kind of yes to both. We did find that we compared conditions where we gave people separate debts or we just combined them into one big one. And people did better when it was when the debts were consolidated, because they did not have to make this choice as to what to pay off. So they actually got out of debt faster when we combined some of the debts. So I think it's effective in that way. It takes away this prioritization problem, which is where people can get it wrong. The one downside is that when you consolidate the debts, you now have this huge debt that might seem like it's way far out into the future before you close it, and that might squash some people's motivation. On the net, though, I think it's probably for the better.
Is there a point when people feel just completely hopeless and they consider things like bankruptcy to avoid having to pay what they view as an insurmountable amount of money?
If you're really up against something like bankruptcy, then I think it's especially important to pay attention to the math. Now, if it's just kind of psychologically dire and not necessarily, on the verge of anything, legally troubling, then maybe the snowball does make sense to help get you on your feet or to get you kind of psychologically involved.
What about the aggressiveness of trying to reduce your debt? I mean, is there a certain percentage of monthly income that seems to work best? Should money still be put away into savings, or should generally all the effort be to reducing debt when it exists?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a clear rule on this, and I know experts disagree. Personally, I think it is good to have some nest egg, even though you are kind of forgoing those interest payments. I do think it's dangerous to kind of go all in and just only repay debt.
The thing about debt, too, is there is the debt of what you owe. And then, of course, there's this interest, which sometimes, especially on credit cards, can be completely outrageous and really leave someone in a state where they can't keep up in any reasonable way. Is that a major factor in the type of debt people face? And is there really anything that can be done about it?
I think the... Once you get into the penalties and the fees, and kind of all bets are off in terms of what the right repayment strategy is. There is research going on now where people are really troubled and they're in the hole, and why do they make bad decisions? The new research seems to suggest that everything to them just matters so much more, and it's so psychologically taxing that it's hard to make the best decision because really everything is on the line at that point.
Well, because part of the issue is when you're paying off a high interest debt is that so much of your money is going to the interest, and you can't help but look at the numbers and think, wow, I just put in this huge payment and it only brought the number down of what I owed very slightly. Is that not one of the psychological issues there?
Yeah, I think that is an impediment to playing what we called in our game the financially optimal strategy. It can be quite depressing to see, this huge payment and you've only chipped away a little. But there might be cases in which, even though you're only chipping away a little, that actually does make more sense. So it's always this balancing of the math and the psychology.
Bottom line, though, is no matter how you go about it, it's a very difficult process to repay a debt as compared to acquiring it, I'm guessing.
That's right. Yeah, the acquiring sometimes can be quite fun, but the repayment is pretty taxing. And I think the general message of this work is just, please don't focus only on the balance. Do keep in mind the interest rates. They're people have a hard time understanding how they compound, and that makes people place less weight on them because you don't understand as well as just the balance. But they do deserve attention.
Scott Rick, a University of Michigan Assistant Professor of Marketing at U of M's Ross School of Business. Thank you very much for joining me, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
And we will be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.